Morning update. This is coming from the Super Bowl and Kay Adams show, where George Kittle has confirmed that he is negotiating a new contract with the 49ers. This as expected, but now we know that they're actually negotiating, and the word is coming straight from the horse's mouth. Kittle was the highest paid tight end in the game when he signed his current contract back in 2020. Half a decade later, that contract has aged extremely well. Kittle is far and away the best tight end in the game. And now the 49ers can actually save 2025 salary cap space, which they can obviously use to carry over to follow their salary cap surfing strategy. They can do that by re-signing George Kittle. They can actually lower his 2025 cap hit. And I'll explain how. He currently is not the highest paid tight end in the game by average per year. These are the rankings as we speak. Travis Kelce, about to play in the Super Bowl, has since eclipsed George Kittle's $15 million per year. TJ Hawkinson of the Vikings is at $16.5 million per year. And Kittle, again, on a deal that is half a decade old, signed in 2020, is at $15 million per year. As I wrote on Twitter, Kittle's deal was a market buster back in 2020. I think that the highest deal prior to his was like $11 million, and George Kittle signed for $15 million with the 49ers in 2020. He came up out of the fifth round from Iowa, drafted in 2017, set the NFL receiving record for tight ends yardage in 2018, was a Super Bowl tight end in 2019. I mean, his rise from the fifth round was meteoric. What he does in the receiving game is as good as top receivers in the league. And then he adds the blocking component. So George Kittle is a true unicorn. And that is why his deal back in 2020 shattered everything else that we had seen. But as we know, over time, there is inflation, both monetary inflation and salary cap inflation. And George Kittle is no longer number one on the list. In fact, we can take a look at George Kittle's contract. This is from Over the Cap, and we can see right here where the 49ers currently are, where Kittle currently is, entering the 2025 season. This is the final year on his deal. So George Kittle's entering what we call a lame duck year. It was obvious, and I talked about this several months ago, entering this 2024 season that recently concluded for the 49ers, it was obvious they were going to try to re-sign him over the course of this offseason. Fred Warner, for example, he's another Hall of Fame-bound player. Kittle and Warner will both be in Canton by the time this is all said and done. But Warner's got 2 years left on his contract. So after this season, you can expect the 49ers to extend Fred Warner if he continues on this same trajectory. With George Kittle, well, because he is entering the final year of his contract here in 2025 with a bunch of void years coming up after that, you renegotiate it now. As you can see, he's got a $14.4 million base salary this year. The signing bonus money that prorates up and down this column, that's already been paid out to George Kittle. That is used for salary cap purposes. So he's got some dead money coming up after 2025. But the 49ers will be able to have that continually staved off into the future if they do extend him. He's also got $500,000 total in per game roster bonus money and $100,000 in workout bonus money. So it adds up to $15 million of compensation scheduled to come George Kittle's way in this 2025 season. What San Francisco will do is that they'll almost certainly increase George Kittle's cash flow in 2025. I would expect him to have a base salary of the veteran minimum. So you can expect this base salary to lower down to $1.3 million, which will be the veteran minimum for George Kittle or players with his experience in 2025. And then the compensation that was scheduled to come through base salary will be delivered through a signing bonus that will be larger than $15 million. I don't know how many years they're going to tack on. Kittle's going to be 32 years old in this 2025 season. Travis Kelce right now is playing in his age 35 season. Kittle, I think, playing the very best football of his career as we speak. I mean, take a look at this. He is far and ahead of every single tight end in the game. It isn't even close. The fact that George Kittle was not a first team all pro and Brock Bowers was kind of a joke. That was based on volume stats. This is efficiency. Expected points added per target on the x-axis, yards per route run on the y-axis. So you want to be further to the right. and further up on the chart, Kittle is one of one. He is an outlier way up here. If George Kittle got the same amount of targets as somebody like Brock Bowers, who's a fine tight end, here's Bowers, not in the upper right, but he's a fine tight end. But if Kittle got the same amount of targets as Brock Bowers, he would break every single record imaginable. I mean, he would be up there with some of the top receiving seasons, like for wideouts of all time. But that's just not how things work with the 49ers. They had other weapons. George Kittle has to block. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the game as well. But when we look at this intelligently, when we look at this through rate stats, right? So when we're not just looking at raw statistics, then George Kittle is far and above everyone else in the NFL. As I mentioned, George Kittle's extension is going to clear salary cap space for 2025. The current cap hit for George Kittle is $22 million for this 2025 season. So if you go back and look at the over the cap sheet, we can cross the entire sheet with the 2025 row here. The cap hit is $14.4 million plus the proration of the signing bonus, which is of $6.6 million, plus the option bonus coming in here in 2025. $450,000 plus the per game roster bonus, that's $500,000 plus the workout bonus. That all adds up to $22 million. What the 49ers will do once this agreement is reached, and this is a no-brainer agreement to reach, is they will slash this base salary down to the veteran minimum, and the signing bonus that replaces it is going to be prorated probably forward another 5 years. I think that you can stretch this out to the max with void years. Prorations last up to 5 years. So it can reduce George Kittle's cap hit from the $22 million that it's at right now. Probably, I would say, ballpark $10 million reduction, probably somewhere between 12 and $15 million. I can give you guys a look at how that's going to work in the big picture if we go to my salary cap sheet. This is the salary cap sheet. You can access it. I tweet this every once in a while. I'll probably tweet it again at some point soon. But this is the 2025 season. Purdy obviously is the headliner as far as financial concerns for the 49ers. $5.1 million cap hit for Brock Purdy. As of right now, I have calculated, and I'll show you a bit on the San Francisco Standards Brock Purdy contract projection. I've projected that's going to increase to $15 million. Even with a new deal that's worth over $60 million annually for Brock Purdy, I think they can keep that at about $15 million. So $10 million increase for Brock Purdy, but you can essentially make that money up if, you know, you go to George Kittle on this sheet. We can zoom in on his name. So I want to zoom out a little bit so you can keep an eye on the counter up here. I have $46 million listed in salary cap space right now. Say that George Kittle's cap hit is changed to $12 million. So I'm going to change this to 12. Okay, as soon as I hit enter, keep an eye on this. Keep an eye on the counter. Up to $56 million. So I'm guessing the cap hit will be around 12 for this next year. I don't know what exact kind of dances the 49ers will do. I went into some specifics there based on what they've done in the past with restructures or extensions like this. But there you have it. That opens up more space for the 49ers. And then once you add Purdy at $15 million here, well, it goes back down to $46 million. So the way to open up near-term space for the Brock Purdy deal and for other business that the 49ers need to tend to is by restructuring players who are good. It makes all the financial sense in the world. It helps you surf that salary cap wave the way that the 49ers have done. Remember, the 49ers have given out more big contracts than any other team since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over in 2017. Yet they still are in good salary cap space. This is what a lot of the national media doesn't get. The local media doesn't get this either. But yeah, if you actually do the work and actually look at how the 49ers salary cap situation has shaken out, it's nothing like the New Orleans Saints. It's nothing like the Rams when they entered salary cap hell after the 2021 season, had to start cutting people. 49ers have actively stayed ahead of things by riding this bonus structure, which I think is really worth studying for anybody who wants to understand how San Francisco actually is able to maintain the football team they've had. I can go to my Brock Purdy contract projection up on the San Francisco Standard and we could scroll down to the actual projection, you could see here, this is what the staggered structure looks like. And once George Kittle and the 49ers do reach agreement on this contract extension, you can expect the structure to actually be reminiscent of something that I proposed here for Brock Purdy. Guaranteed money is all shaded into color. Again, when you give out a signing bonus or a guaranteed option bonus, then it could be stretched out for up to 5 years as far as its salary cap impact goes. So assuming that the salary cap is rising every single season, which it has risen here over the past few seasons, and it's going to continue to rise with growing NFL revenues. They're tapping into these international markets now, and obviously the streaming deals have been extremely lucrative. Assuming that cap keeps on rising, it makes all the sense in the world to defer payments until later using these prorations, because salary cap space now is more precious than salary cap space later. So this is how I expect them to structure something for Brock Purdy, and this is how they actually have structured a deal for George Kittle. As you can see, they keep on pushing money into the future, money further into the future. You've got cap hits for Kittle, 2025, $22 million. Then they've got void dead money of $13.6 million waiting to hit the books, but they can continue staving that money off. You're stiff-arming the money into the future where you actually have more cap room, and the 49ers have done this sustainably. People who, you know, the biggest red flag for somebody who doesn't know financial analysis in the NFL is like, oh, the credit card's eventually going to come due. It's like, what are you talking about? This is zero interest. Credit cards come with interest if you don't pay the bill. This comes with no interest. We could look at the Kittle numbers and we could look at the projected Purdy numbers. It's okay. You can push money into the future. It's not like they're going to charge you more for it later on. So if the cap keeps on growing, it's like taking out a zero interest loan, which anybody, if they didn't have enough cash up front, would do, because it comes with zero penalty. Wouldn't it be nice if banks went out and gave out zero interest loans to everybody? I think the financial system would completely collapse if that happened. But in the NFL, this is not the normal financial system. This is one that you can actually surf as a team, and the 49ers have been able to do that over the years. So Kittle and the 49ers negotiating a contract extension. It makes all the sense in the world. Predicted it months ago. George Kittle hinted at it. Now on Kay Adams' show, this happened at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. George Kittle confirmed that he and the 49ers are in those negotiations. Up at Up and Adams, that is the handle for Kay Adams' show. A lot of good content there. Obviously, a lot of good interviews this week with the Super Bowl happening. But boy, I mean, we could look at how dominant George Kittle has been. I love taking a look at that chart right here. I mean, there's so many of them that George Kittle produces where he's in the upper right. The efficiency is literally off the charts. I mean, when you take a look at something like this, he is an outlier of outliers in that chart. This show is brought to you by Public Rec. They've got the Game Changer pants. They could be formal, they could be casual at the same time. Usually when you order comfortable pants, you only get to pick from small, medium, large, and extra large sizes. But with Public Rec pants, you get to select the exact width and length that you need. Whether you're a 30 by 30 or 44 by 36, you can find your perfect fitting pants. Public Rec pants come in so many unique colors, from navy, dark olive, and stone gray. You're sure to find the right color for you. Their proprietary blend of performance materials provides the perfect combination of breathability and stretch while still holding its form. You'll never want to take them off. So this February, treat yourself right, because comfort is always in season. Upgrade to Public Rec and feel the difference. For a limited time, you can get 20% off at Public Rec by using the code Lombardi at checkout. Just head to publicrec.com, use the code Lombardi, and you're set. Oh, and when they ask you how you found them, be sure to mention our show. It really helps us out. Find your perfect fit and never compromise on comfort again. Public Rec, where comfort rules. Seriously. Pants are nice. They're good. So go to publicrec.com and check that out. We're going to talk a little bit more about George Kittle. I want to look at some of the stats that he's put up over the years, because I think his best football has come more recently. It's amazing. He's figured out how to stay healthy. He's got it down to a T. He's out here in Nashville over the course of the offseason. He's built the barn out on his farm in Nashville. A lot of NFL guys who live here in the off season will train there. And it's a hell of a setup that George has there, but he's also found the formula to deliver at a high level year in, year out, consistently throughout the year. This past season was his healthiest in a while. I think that was key because he fought through a lot in 2023. By the end there, I mean, he was running into the locker room and during overtime in the Super Bowl, presumably to get a painkiller injection to be able to get back out there and play. We saw that documented in the Receiver series on Netflix. So the fact that he entered this offseason feeling healthy, and he's now, you know, going to be entering the age 32 season, so healthier than ever entering age 32. A lot of NFL players never get the kind of the holy combination, right? Later in your career, you've got the technical savvy. You've learned the tricks of the trade. You know how to work smarter and not harder, because you sometimes, most of the time, once you're on the wrong side of 30 in the NFL, you can't work harder because your body has been worn down. But Kittle has found a way to preserve his body to where he's obviously working smarter now, but he could also work harder because he's still in physically prime shape. He's still moving just as fast. There's so many stereotypes and so many wrong assumptions about George Kittle. Like the other day, somebody was saying, I think they're talking about Tyler Warren. I forgot who it was, but there's somebody who was trying to say that Tyler Warren is probably more athletic than George Kittle. I mean, you're going to have to go a long, long time to find a tight end who rivals George Kittle in athleticism. This might be part of the Brock Purdy syndrome of bad takes, right? That just because Purdy was picked in the seventh round, just because George Kittle was picked in the fifth round, doesn't mean that these guys are somehow deficient athletically. In fact, Kittle is one of the most notable athletic freaks that we've ever seen at the tight end position. The guy ran a 4.5 40 at 250 pounds. So good luck to Tyler Warren, who's awesome, you know, as a prospect, what we saw from him at Penn State. But when he runs at the NFL Combine a little bit later this month, I'll go out on a limb and say that it won't be 4.5 at 260 pounds. Like, you just don't do that. So the fact that Kittle dropped to the fifth round in 2017 for the 49ers after running a 4.5 at 245 to 250 pounds, it was an absolute miracle. And, you know, maybe at the time the league wasn't quite ready to embrace the tight end position. Maybe it took the George Kittle revolution to make that happen. Although I can go back to Vernon Davis on the 49ers under Jim Harbaugh to point at a very athletically gifted tight end making things work. But for whatever reason, the 49ers were able to grab George Kittle later on. I think the biggest reason probably was that Kittle was hidden in that Iowa offense. They didn't pass it to him a lot. He had only like 34, 35 receptions over the course of his college career. And then he just went crazy. He went crazy for the 49ers in 2018 and 2019. One of the, you know, the Super Bowl's coming up on Sunday. I think one of the more regrettable plays in 49ers franchise history. It was a beautiful pass from Jimmy Garoppolo. It was a beautiful route from George Kittle toward the end of the first half of the Super Bowl in the 2019 season, Super Bowl 54, over at Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami, otherwise known as Hard Rock Stadium. George Kittle hauled in what would have been a completely, I think, result-changing play, but officials called the offensive pass interference that I know that Kittle still disagrees with and the 49ers still disagree with, but got to let bygones be bygones at this point. Anyway, I'm going to open this up to some questions, and then we're going to talk a little bit about George Kittle's stats throughout the years, because some stats have really, really peaked, including the touchdowns and his performance in the red zone. Remember that catch against New England this past season. I'm going to open up Pro Football Reference to go through some of those pages, maybe put that up on the screen. Looks like we have a nice crowd watching this morning. This has been fun. I've got something to show you guys here in a second as well. Maybe while we're looking at the stats, or maybe a little bit after. George Kittle on Pro Football Reference. This is the best site to just look at, you know, some of the more basic stats. I know I'm showing you guys a lot of the charts, which are neat, but we can go to Pro Football Reference. And then we could take a look at this. So this company sent this to me the other day. They're not paying me to do this, but it's called Somm Sleep. I struggle to sleep. You know, I'm always working. I'm in different time zones and I'm always working. And so they said, you know, a lot of professional athletes use this. We saw that you do a lot of swimming. We saw that you do a lot of traveling. Why don't you try this out? If anybody else has trouble sleeping, it's one of the catchier phrases. Get some sleep. Really good. It comes in berry drink mix and cherry. It's just like one of these little powder packets. And I have slept the best I've slept in years. Has vitamin B6, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, zero sugar. This Get Some Sleep berry drink mix. Definitely check it out there on Instagram. And it comes in this easy. It tastes pretty good too. I like the berry drink mix. Anyway, Get Some Sleep. I wanted to show that off to you guys just for the time being because it's helped the quality of the show over the course of the past few weeks. I've got George Kittle's stat lineup now. I'm going to get this up on the screen for you guys because I love looking at stuff like this just to compare year over year, look at trajectories of where he's going as a player. And I think this one is particularly impressive. This is Kittle through the seasons. I'm going to make my picture disappear there so you can see everything. So 2024 for Kittle was right here. You could see he's had two straight 1,000-yard seasons. So this is a renaissance after the age of 30. I mean, there were some struggles in 2021 and 2022. 910 yards, 765 yards, only 14 and 15 games. It's been 16 games and 15 games of the past two seasons, and it was only 8 in 2020. So that's where some of the injury issues came in. Obviously, he fought through a lot in 2023, but he was at his second most productive season yardage-wise in 2024. And then when you go into the touchdown column, the past 3 years have been huge for touchdowns. 11, 6, and 8. So 25 touchdown catches over the past three seasons for George Kittle after he was basically limited to 6 or less in the first few years of his career. So he was a yardage machine in 2018, 1,377 yards, but only 5 touchdowns. The fact that he's delivering the touchdown catches the way that he is, that's what the 49ers need the most, right? They need that delivery in the red zone. And as they try to fix some of the overarching red zone problems from this past season, that was one of the biggest issues for this team. George Kittle is definitely not the weakness there. He's somebody that can help you, that has helped you. I remember the catch against triple coverage against the New England Patriots. So stuff like that, if you can have somebody who can make those contested catches, who's on the same page as Brock Purdy. I mean, when we talk about opening up salary cap space in the context of Brock Purdy's contract, well, then you better be loading the team up with players who are good with Brock Purdy, who have the rapport with him. There was the game against Tampa Bay this year where Purdy was rolling out off schedule, running around, finds George Kittle, late read on the play, back of the end zone in the corner, Kittle gets both feet down. And that's something that Kittle actively practices. He's as good at that as anybody, right? Getting both toes down in the field of play. But the rapport that Purdy and Kittle have, especially near the end zone, is invaluable. That alone justifies making George Kittle, once again, the top paid tight end in the game. I mean, the salary cap savings alone for 2025 justify an extension here. You don't just want to restructure him. You want to extend him. You want more team control. You want to have George Kittle retire as a 49er. This is going to be a Hall of Famer in the future. So the 49ers want to keep him wire to wire on their football team. It only makes sense. All right, we're going to go to 49ers Q&A. Let's open it up. Any questions about this contract? And we will go from there. It is the news of this morning. Kittle and the 49ers are negotiating a contract extension. Q&A is officially open here on the YouTube channel. If you're not watching the YouTube channel, if you're listening to the podcast, you can head to the YouTube and ask a question there. Or if you're watching on Twitter, you can go ahead and go to the YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, do all that. Somebody asked, is George Kittle the best bargain in the NFL for a weapon? Absolutely, yes. So you've got receivers now making twice this, right? The receiver market's topping out at about $34 million per year with Justin Jefferson. Travis Kelce's at $17 million a year. Kittle's at $15 million. Kittle's about to eclipse Kelce once this negotiation is finished. You're still going to be getting wide receiver one type of quality as far as the receiving room goes for half the price. Plus, he blocks better than any receiver. So, yes, Kittle is the best veteran bargain of any skill position player in the league. The 49ers have been a team of bargains recently, right? Brock Purdy, $1 million per year. That's been a bargain for San Francisco. When they first picked up Christian McCaffrey in the trade from the Carolina Panthers, the 49ers were getting him for, I think, $765,000 in 2022. That was the best bargain in the league. George Kittle has been the best bargain in the league, even with a new contract, one that will save them near-term salary cap space, by the way. George Kittle is going to be the best bargain in the NFL. So I think that's a no-brainer. And all you have to do is look at positional value. And the fact that the tight end market, this is unfortunate for players like George Kittle, but this is why he deserves to take as many bites out of the apple as possible when it comes to a contract. The tight end market is constrained by the tight end franchise tag. And the tight end franchise tag has been nowhere near the wide receiver franchise tag. It can be argued, and we talked about this 5 years ago when George Kittle was signing his new deal, it could be argued, especially in the context of the 49ers system, that Kittle is more valuable than any wide out because he is blocking and he is lining up out wide. He is lining up in the slot. These positions have become amorphous. I think that the only fair thing to do would be for the NFL to abolish the tight end franchise tag. I think they got to be classified in there with wide receivers because they're lining up as wideouts now. There's been legal action. I think Jimmy Graham sued the NFL over this. He didn't win. There was a grievance probably filed. I don't know if it went to outside court, but this has been a hot button issue for probably 10 years at this point, as the tight end position has morphed from this blocking forward position to this receiving forward position. These guys, the pay is very artificially depressed at this tight end position. I mean, I think Travis Kelce is Patrick Mahomes' most valuable weapon, right? And he's only being paid half of what the top receivers in the game are being paid. George Kittle does a lot more than Travis Kelce when it comes to blocking, and you can argue that he's the most valuable weapon in the receiving game for the 49ers, yet currently making only $15 million per year. And even a new deal, even if it hits $20 million per year, would still be significantly shy of the top receivers as far as wide receivers, wideouts go in the game. You should always send a super chat. I'm just looking at the questions right now. Even like I'm going to try to get to questions. I'm just now looking at them right now, but super chats are always welcome. You know, some love, some appreciation is always welcome. I wake up, I do these shows. I basically work two jobs for you guys, and we're working on the big linebackers piece up on the San Francisco Standard. So super chats are always welcome, and subscriptions to the YouTube channel are always welcome, and signups to the San Francisco Standard right here are always welcome as well. Is Kittle as valuable to the team as Ayuk? I think he's more valuable to the team. You look at team culture. That's extremely important. Kittle has not held out or held in, or you know whatever we want to call what Ayuk did last season. He's been around for longer since 2017. True captain of the football team, but as well as Ayuk blocks, Kittle blocks five times better than Brandon Ayuk. George Kittle, he blocks like a tackle. And I think his presence in the red zone and his ability to run routes is on par with really good receivers. And it might not be at the very same level as somebody like Brandon Ayuk. But gosh, the yards per route run that we've seen out of George Kittle in some of these monster years has been absolutely absurd. So you look at everything that Kittle does. He's such a well-rounded player. Kittle's a future Hall of Famer. Brandon Ayuk isn't. Brandon Ayuk has a lot to do before we can even start talking about him potentially going to the Hall of Fame. There's the difference between these two guys. Unfortunately for Kittle, he's not going to be paid as much as Brandon Ayuk. That's just how the cost structure and the market structure of these positions in the NFL work. Flav asks, thank you, I appreciate it. Have I heard anything on CMC? Yeah, we did an update on Christian McCaffrey last night. You can go and watch it after this. I'll answer your question here. He's healthy. I mean, Ed McCaffrey just said yesterday that Christian is going to be 100% ready to go for the entire offseason program, probably starting next week. So there was a misunderstanding about Christian McCaffrey's injuries last year. People thought that the Achilles was something that was lingering with him all offseason, and that the 49ers were hiding it. It snuck up on him, right? Fred Warner repeated this yesterday. It snuck up on the 49ers. It was a terrible break. Stuff happens. That hurt the 49ers big time because they're planning on Christian McCaffrey. They didn't have him due to the Achilles tendonitis for 2 months or so at the start of the season. But he fully recovered from that. This is another thing that I think people are getting wrong right now. They think that the Buffalo injury had something to do with the Achilles. It did not. The Buffalo injury was completely unrelated. And ironically, tragically, it came on a play that was almost a touchdown. It was the play that would have announced that Christian McCaffrey was back. In fact, in the 10 minutes before he got hurt against Buffalo, it was a knee injury. It was a PCL in the knee. In the 10 minutes before he got hurt, we were all talking on social media, oh, this looks like the old Christian McCaffrey. In the snow, no less, in Buffalo. Overmatched roster. He was looking great. And he was about to break through for a touchdown, but Taylor Rapp tripped him up by a shoestring and his knee slammed a frozen turf, and that's when he hurt his PCL. So the Achilles was completely in the rearview mirror, and Christian then hurt his knee, and it was just bad luck. It had nothing to do with the Achilles. So now, as Ed, his dad, said yesterday, 100% healthy. Probably next week is when we're going to be able to say 100%. So healthy now, it's going to be 100% next week. And Christian McCaffrey, I think he's built different. And I think we saw how differently he's built based on what he did against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, coming back from bilateral Achilles tendonitis that season to be as explosive as he became against Buffalo before he suffered the separate injury. It's hard to compare anybody to Jerry Rice, but Christian McCaffrey is going to be he's a future Hall of Famer as well. There's guys that are cut from a different cloth. By the way, Jerry Rice is sending me goat fuel. He just reached out yesterday and we talked about Psalm sleep. So we're also going to get to try goat fuel on the show tomorrow. But it's fun. Jerry and Christian are in the same commercial, Matthew McConaughey. You guys should check out the commercial. They're coming out for the Super Bowl. It's really funny. Jerry tore his ACL in week one of 97, right? Yeah, it was week one of 97, I believe, at Tampa Bay. And Jerry Rice came back that season from a torn ACL. Literally that season. Like, I think it was Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos late 1997. Unheard of, right? Normally a guy tears his ACL and we're wondering if he's going to come back the next season or if he's going to miss the whole year, especially back then. Now it's gotten better. Jerry Rice came back the same season in which he tore his ACL. Now, unfortunately, he cracked his patella in that Monday night game while scoring a touchdown, so he was done for the season. Might have cost the 49ers a Super Bowl. It's too bad. It's unclear if that was related to the torn ACL. Probably was. But my main point is that he was special enough to be able to come back that season and deliver at a high level. Christian McCaffrey, special enough to come back from Achilles tendonitis. He said he was struggling to walk to the bathroom when he was dealing with the tendonitis. And then he was delivering at the level that he was during that game against Buffalo. Bad luck, maybe just like Jerry Rice, bad luck when he was re-injured upon his return. Merlin comes through. Wow. Thanks, man. That is awesome. Religious viewer here. You say that Kittle deserves at least the highest paid tight end? Absolutely. There is no question that George Kittle deserves to be the highest paid tight end. And thank you very much for your support. But right here, you've got Kittle. I mean, this says it all. Kittle is the outlier of outliers as far as tight ends go. And this doesn't even include how good of a blocker he is. Those of you straining to see where the dot is for George Kittle, it's way up here in the upper right. Really, really dominant stuff. And we've seen this year in and year out from George Kittle. He is the best in the game. He's a future Hall of Famer. He needs to retire as a 49er. I think the 49ers recognize that, and that's why they're negotiating a contract with him right now. Another one from Flav. Thanks. How about Trent? Last year, he had this bruise in his ankle joint. Sounds really painful, was really painful. He fought through the injury against the Seahawks, and I think it might have gotten worse with that. You have to give him credit for fighting through it. But then, you know, once things start, and then the personal tragedy happened, lost twins, and you know, his wife shared that, and a lot conspired there. He was fighting to get back, but it became very clear the 49ers weren't going anywhere a few weeks after that, maybe even around that time. So Trent Williams obviously didn't come back last year. So there were personal issues. There was the ankle injury. When Trent Williams has been healthy, he's still the most dominant lineman in football. And the 49ers expect that to continue. They expect him to be the most dominant lineman in football because they expect him to be healthy after an extended offseason moving forward. If the 49ers are going to give $60 million to Brock, first off, they're not going to just give him $60 million. That's $60 million per year, right? So it's a little bit more complicated. Do you think Purdy should be practicing to throw the ball in the rain more often? Almost every single quarterback in the history of the game, and I got some data to show you here, has been worse in the rain. I would say every single quarterback's been worse in the rain. Some, yes, some have been affected more than others. But this idea that Brock Purdy is horrifically bad in the rain relative to the average NFL quarterback is a little bit far-fetched. And this is from SF Data Niners. This is really good. So let me show this to you. Okay, so these are like performance ranges. So I'm going to take your chat off. I really appreciate it, but I have to take it off because otherwise we won't see the bottom of this. And I have to take my own text title off as well. So give me a second. All right, here we go. So this is Brock Purdy's efficiency in different weather conditions. The left side is severe weather, so rain, snow, or freezing. This right here is cool weather with no rain. This right here is warm weather with no rain. And this right here are indoor games. So obviously no rain. You would hope at least there's no rain during the indoor games. Every game is plotted here. You want to be higher up on this chart. The median range of performances, kind of the average range of performances, is in the colored box in each section. So obviously, Purdy has way more games on the upper half than on the lower half when we look at everything, when we look at the no rain games and the indoor games. When we look specifically at rain, it is true, yes, that three of his worst games have come in severe weather. There was a game against the Rams this past season. That was the one where the 49ers were essentially eliminated from the postseason. There was the game against the Browns. That was week 6 of 2023. And there was the snow game against the Bills. But at the same time, the two times that Brock Purdy has played in the playoffs in rain, that was the Seahawks, his first ever playoff game, 2022 season, and then the Packers, the divisional round game, 2023 season. Both of those games were wins, and both of those games he performed above the league average of quarterbacks in the rain. So this is, I mean, you look at, you have to include that data, right? The two most important rain games that Brock Purdy has played, unquestionably, playoff games, he's performed well. So I get it that these three games, three of his worst games, there are not a lot of bad games on here. I think perspective is important, but three of the worst games have come in weather conditions. I absolutely see that. But two of his best ones have also come in weather conditions. The sample is still small. So, of course, he's going to want to be better in the rain. But let's be realistic here. Is there a quarterback outside of Josh Allen who's built like an absolute tank at 6'5", 250 pounds? Is there a quarterback outside of Josh Allen who we can reasonably expect to not see his performance dip in the rain? I'll even say that this game right here, I'll zoom in, against the Rams, Matthew Stafford, I thought, played worse than Purdy in that game. Stafford threw three footballs that should have been intercepted in the first half over the middle, but the 49ers dropped all three of them. So if the 49ers catch one of Stafford's interceptions, or if Deebo Samuel catches a crosser from Brock Purdy that should have been a touchdown, even this game right here is probably higher up on the chart for Purdy, but it's a win for the 49ers, and everybody's talking about how Matthew Stafford struggles in the rain. So I think some perspective is necessary here, and when we actually look at the data, it helps give us that perspective. Let's continue on with the 49ers Q&A. We got more questions. Jeez, you guys are pouring in the super chats. This is pretty cool. I appreciate it. This is another one. Last one. Who do I think the 49ers starting receivers will be on opening day? Well, I wouldn't bet on it because I don't bet, but do I think Deebo is still with the 49ers? Do they get a free agent trade or draft another wide receiver? Okay, so let's open up the roster so I can answer your question as meticulously as possible. All right, roster open right here. Roster's on the screen. There you go. Here's the receiver room as we speak. I've highlighted it up there. I do think the Deebo Samuel is still with the 49ers on opening day. If you made me pick, I do think you'll still be there. I think that there's potential of a trade before the deadline, but I think that receiving depth is important. Yes, Deebo Samuel's more of a luxury weapon than ever before, especially if Ricky Pearsall continues emerging. But Brandon Ayuk is, now he's not Jerry Rice, right? So we don't know when he's going to come back from the torn ACL. So you're dealing with that. You were badly missing separators last year when McCaffrey was out. And we're going to, we could take the injury shading off of McCaffrey, by the way. I don't know exactly where Garendo is. That was an MCL. But Ayuk, he was already shooting hoops and jumping in the locker room late last season. So I think he'll be back at some point. So Ayuk, maybe not opening day, but let's just say that he'll be back opening day for argument's sake. Ayuk, Jennings, Deebo Samuel, Pearsall. There's four receivers. If you want to know the starters, I think that you're assuming Ayuk is healthy. Ayuk and Jennings and Pearsall, your number three, with Deebo being your gadget Z receiver weapon. The dynamics with Deebo are tricky because I think that the role is never going to be as big as it was in 2021 because they just have more talent there. Even if Deebo was the same exact type of player as 2021, there's more mouths to feed now. They've got Ayuk as an established X, assuming he comes back. You've got Pearsall delivering what he did as a rookie, which was really impressive. And you have Jennings, who has emerged and is available and is playing now at a big-time discount relative to what he can do. So, those are your receivers. I think depth is important. I don't know what you even get for Deebo Samuel. And all the money, or most of the money that has been paid to Deebo Samuel, has already been paid out. Like, it's come via signing bonus. So you don't save all that much by jettisoning Deebo Samuel. So I think you just ride with it at this point. And you have to remember that in the case of Deebo, he dealt with an injury in week two last year, and then he dealt with pneumonia that sent him to the hospital. Anybody who's had pneumonia and tried to do something athletic at a high level knows it takes you some time to get back. That was remarkable to me that he was back in the lineup the next week, but I don't think that he was 100% for the 49ers really at any point beyond week one last year. And week one, he had that nice rushing touchdown against the New York Jets. So I think that patience is warranted in the Deebo Samuel situation. I think people need to realize he was dealing with a lot last year. I don't think that you go out and extend him to big money. If you extend him, then you do so to a team-friendly deal this offseason. But you could also let this play out because you've already paid him most of the money that is owed to him on his contract. It's already, you know, it's already down the river. Like, it's not something that you could really save at this point. Ty Warren, I mean, I've been talking about Warren over the course of this entire bowl season, right? I mean, he's super impressive. 6'6", 261. We talk about George Kittle, we have to talk about Warren. So yeah, I mean, it's a good comment. The guy's a monster. I don't know if he's going to be available at 11. I think 49ers are going to go best player available. I think that's the way to go. I don't think you should force a pick on an offensive tackle, especially it seems like a sketchy offensive tackle class beyond Campbell, who's not going to be available at 11. So go out there and stock your roster. I think getting good skill position players, whether it be tight ends or receivers, that helps your pass protection because those guys get open quicker so you could release the ball quicker. These guys can help in the run game so that diffuses pass rushes. Sometimes, and the 49ers have operated from this philosophy, if they see an offensive lineman that's good enough, that marks, you know, matches the criteria that they're looking for, they'll go for that offensive lineman. But it's hard to find a lineman that matches that criteria with your top pick. So you want to make sure the blue chip talent comes into the building because you recognize this is a team sport, and at every single position, you can help your pass protection. You could help Brock Purdy. It's not just the tackle position or the guard position where you can help him. That's why I think they see a lot of value in the center position because center is a rising tide that can lift all boats along the offensive line. The center is setting the protections. The center is really helping every one of the offensive linemen be in lockstep around him. So the center can make left guard, left tackle, and right tackle better. So that's how I look at it. I think the 49ers are looking for max efficiency with their draft picks and with their free agent signings, which is why they have spent on centers before. They have spent on tackles before, but only when that tackle really, really matches the criteria that they're looking for up front. All right, where are we at with questions, guys? Let's get a few more in here. Where are we at with viewers, Mike? How many do we have on the show? I can't even see right now because we have Twitter and YouTube going. Looks like we're in a heavily viewed spot. Looks like everybody's wanting to watch this morning, which is good. I don't think the 49ers are going to move away for the wide nine. Last time that Robert Saleh was here, Chris Kocurek was his D-line coach for the final two seasons, and those were highly successful with the wide nine. I think the key to the wide nine is linebacker position. I mean, there are many keys, but I think the big one is linebacker. I'm writing up on the San Francisco Standard, state of the 49ers linebackers, and they last had an elite defense in 2022, and that's elite defense was spearheaded by awesome linebacker play. They had Warner, Greenlaw, and Azeez Alshire all delivering excellent seasons. I think that's mandatory for the 49ers to really succeed in the wide nine. So, yes, they're going to try to restock and make that defensive line better, but linebackers where they need to focus those big gaps in the wide nine, you've got to have those linebackers patrolling. Anyway, George Kittle, contract extension on its way. On Kay Adams' show, he says he is negotiating a contract extension for the 49ers. So I think a 49-minute show is a perfect length. We've just hit 49 minutes. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for the super chats. That was really cool. We'll talk to you soon.